This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we find that the desirous need or the urge to remain young in the previous few ahadith that we mentioned, that a human being has this urge within himself, that longevity or long life is given to the individual, or extra wealth is given to the individual. And this desire to remain young isn't just a desire amongst men. It's also a desire amongst women as well to remain young. Or rather, they become more over-worried and conscious about it, about the external beauty or the display of the beauty and the worry of becoming old. And as you can see that even in the modern world, the amount of people, the millions that they will spend on trying to change their appearance, change their outlook, change their perception, basically not accepting their lifespan or accepting their age. And this disease, if you can say, is unfortunately also spreading amongst Muslims as well. That spending their wealth in trying to do certain things that they think that will beautify themselves or give them some extra external beauty. As for the beauty of the woman that we find, the Quran and Sunnah doesn't negate it. Rather, the Quran, it affirms it, but it just channels it in a certain direction. A woman yunashaw fil hilyati. Have you not seen the one who's been nurtured, brought up in al-hilya, in a state of zina? And it's quite strange that even this verse itself is placed inside Surah Az-Zukhruf, the 43rd chapter of the Quran, speaking about the golden ornaments, the commodities, those that have value. And that is something strange about the Quran, or rather for us it is strange, but it's the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He places certain verses, certain words and certain passages, certain places inside the Quran. That's why many ulama have gone to exert their efforts in trying to make a relationship between Arab bayn al ayati wal ayat ba'duha, or a surah, or the surah what comes after it, or the ending of a surah or the beginning of another surah. It's a deep science that many ulama of ulum al Quran, wal ra'sim Imam Suyuti, exert this effort to try to see the intricate meanings of certain passages, certain verses, certain words inside the Quran, why they're placed there, what meaning they have. This verse that we find, our man yunashaw fil hilya, ulama tafsir mentioned, it shows that the natural state of the woman is to adorn herself with beauty, to have a care about beauty, to have a worry about beauty. Abu Bakr al-Jazari inside the tafsir, he mentions anna fi hadhi al-aya dalilun ala jawaz al-dhahab wal-harir lin-nisa'i. That in this ayah is an evidence that the wearing of gold, the wearing of silk, is something which is permissible for women. وَهَذَا إِجْمَعُ الْأُمَّةِ. And this is the consensus view that we find. There are some aqwal al-shada that we find, but the general consensus of the fuqaha is that gold and beautiful ornaments and silk, etc., is specifically for women, something which is pleasurable to them. So the Quran is speaking about the nature of the woman that we find in those things that she likes. But what the Quran rebukes, or what the ahadith it rebukes, is overstepping the mark. Because we live in a world that many people think that if I go over the mark, that maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it's just a sin. Maybe it's just something trivial. But some of us, we fail to understand that some actions, when you go over the mark, they don't just become sinful. It doesn't just become dangerous. You become mal'oon. You become cursed. That's what the danger is, that if you read these ahadith, read these wordings, then maybe our perception towards them will be slightly different. That a person is under the curse of Allah. Not this punishment, but that person, the punishment may come later on, may Allah forbid. But whilst they're living at that moment in time, they are under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's today's hadith that we find is narrated بعائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن امرأة من الأنصار زوجت ابنتها. A woman from the Ansar, she got her daughter married. فتمعت شعرها. She began to lose her hair. Her hair began to drop out. فجاءت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. She came to the Prophet عليه السلام and she mentioned فذكرت ذلك له. She mentioned that to him and said that فقال إن زوجها أمرني أن أصل في شعرها. And her husband has told me to connect, add braids or make attachments to her hair because she's losing her hair. What was the response of the Prophet عليه السلام? لا إنه لعن الموصلات. Hadith inside Bukhari. He said, no, the woman who makes the attachments, لعنت, has been cursed. And thus we need to look at various ahadith whereby it mentions, لعن الله. Allah is cursed. أو لعن. That person has been cursed. It's not something trivial. Imam al-Dhahabi mentions, from a sign of a sin being من الكبائر. The signs that you can recognize that this sin is a major sin is whereby the la'na of Allah has been mentioned inside the Quran or inside the hadith. That's why Imam Dhahabi in his works Al-Kaba'ir collects some 80 or 90, my memory serves correct, different sins that some of us may seem them to be trivial or small, but they're classified min al-Kaba'ir. That if amongst the major sins. And likewise amongst the contemporary works as well, you find a collection of major sins. And in the ishara is there, whereby that the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon such and such individual. Another more clearer hadith, which is possibly more relevant to our times and the world that we live in today, not just yesterday. That's what some people, they think that certain practices that people do today, they haven't been discussed previously. Or the previous generations, previous people didn't understand these sins. And that's very, very strange. Because it shows a lack of reading of the nusus of the Quran and the Sunnah. Because you find many things inside the Quran and Sunnah. If you look at tafsir of the Quran, you find many things that people are, if you can say such words, are debating or discussing today about al-musiqa, about music, about ikhtilat, free mixing between men and women, about haram things, or qiyas of certain haram things. You find classical ulama have discussed them in great detail. Just the title and the name may be slightly different. But as ulama mentioned, don't pay attention to titles. Look at the essence. That if the essence of something that exists inside the Quran and Sunnah and it's been warned against, person needs to stay away from it. In this hadith, we find لعن الله الواشمات والمستوشمات. Allah has cursed those women who perform tattoos and those women who get tattoos done. والنامصات والمتنمصات. Those women who pluck eyebrows or those who get their eyebrows plucked. وَالْمُتَفَلِّجَاتِ لِلْحُسْنِ الْمُغَيِّرَاتِ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. Those women who place spaces inside their teeth, make gaps inside their teeth to beautify themselves. Changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that these individuals, or we find in society in general, people are not content. People are not happy with the external bodily factor of themselves. It's become a great big industry at the moment to change your outlook, to change the way that you look externally inside society, to become more acceptable to what society says is acceptable. This person in essence is actually arguing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is actually saying that, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create me in such a manner? Why do I have such features? And I need to change these features. There's a different discussion about a person who may have been burnt or may have been hurt or damaged in certain way that fuqaha have discussed, where a person needs to carry out certain forms of plastic surgery or whatever it may be to rectify themselves. That's a total different dimension. We're talking about people who are sound in general. What need do they have to go and begin to change themselves? هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. Inside Surah Al-Taghabun, the 64th chapter of Quran, the surah begins by speaking about التغابن من أسماء الآخرة, amongst the names of the hereafter, the mutual loss. Well, people will be in a state of loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created individuals. Some amongst you are disbelieving individuals, which we have to accept. You can't force the whole earth that the whole earth will become Muslims. We have to accept that there's going to be disbelieving individuals and there's going to be believing individuals, believers on the face of this earth. Wallahu bima ta'maluna basir. Allah is all-seeing of whatever you do, has knowledge and sees whatever you do. خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ. Allah created the heavens and the earth with truth, without any doubt. And then what concerns us, وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَّرَكُمْ وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ. Then Allah modeled you, formed you, placed you on this earth, created the best mold, and made the best mold about you. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ. And the return is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you find certain that hadith inside Sahih Muslim, not mistaken, that Allah created the human being in his own image. Even the Bible speaks about this. Ulama of hadith, Shura al-Hadith, have discussed this. What it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given honor and dignity is amongst the ma'ani of this hadith. Or Allah has given certain things that we can do. That the title of seeing, of hearing, and etc. is there. But it's not like the seeing and the hearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, that names can be the same, but the entity is totally different. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Nothing is like unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the all-hearing, the all-seeing. And that's why you find those people who deviate from the creed of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. They say that you make this tashbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be like human beings. This is false. None of the ulama Ahlul Sunnati went to this view. They totally negate this perception that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares the same qualities as human beings. Just because the names and the titles are the same, it doesn't mean that this is equating this with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far beyond his creation, far beyond our comprehension. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a glimpse of certain kalimat that maybe from a distance we can understand the dust of these kalimat. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. Person could spend their whole life trying to understand what does it mean that Allah is nuru samawati wal ard. No one can perceive and understand that. But dust of that can be understood, that his light encompasses the whole earth. Or he guides whomever he wants to that light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever ulama of Ahlul Sunnah speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're not equating the creator with the creation. Allah is far away from anything to do with creation that is placed upon this earth. Likewise, we find that unfortunately, what is existing inside our society that has gone just beyond making cosmetic changes, that some people are no longer happy with their gender. They're not happy with their gender. They want to change their gender. Once again, Islam speaks about people, there may be some default inside certain faculties about them. And what realm should they belong? Should they be classified as a man or woman? There's discussion about this amongst fuqaha. And this is very rare. But as for a person physically to go and try to change their gender, this is going against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down on the face of this earth. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَصَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ فِي أَيِّ سُورَةٍ مَا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, oh, believing individuals. Once again, رَكِّزُوا الْخِطَابِ الْقُرْآنِ. Focus upon the words, the kalimat of the Quran. Allah doesn't say, oh Muslims, oh believers, oh Quraysh, oh Ahlul Kitab. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal insan, oh mankind, what has deceived you from not paying attention to the most noble, the most kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is it with you? Alladhi khalaqaka, the one who created you and molded you and structured you and made you in the best structure, the best way. What is it? What is the matter with you? That you're deviating away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether deviation is away from accepting belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or deviation in changing yourself. Because that's what can be taken, extracted linguistically from this ayah. You're deviating away from the natural structure that Allah made you. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. We created the human being in the best structure, in the best manner. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ. Then via his own actions, his own practice, he becomes the lowest of the low, carrying out these evil actions. Inside Surah An-Nisa, we find a verse whereby Allah mentioned that this deviation that's entered into human beings, وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ, I will misguide them. This here Iblis, Shaitan saying, I will begin to misguide these individuals. I will give them false aspirations and hopes. وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْآمِ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, I'm going to command them to slit the ears of the cattle. And I'm going to command them to change, فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, I'm going to command them to begin to change the creation of Allah. Deep discussion exists amongst contemporary ulama of tafsir. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, they're going to change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is this deviation of changing one's body. And even entails as well, it may sound strange for some of us, inside this verse, it contains a modern day tafsir interpretation. They're going to change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're going to shave. Men are going to shave, take away the natural creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's made human beings the man with a certain nature. And they're going to deviate away from that. And likewise, we find, وَمَنْ يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانَ وَلِيًّا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ خَسِرَ خُسْرَانًا مُبِينًا. Whoever takes shaitan to be their ally, to be their friend, to be their comrade, to be their advisor, study shaitan inside the Quran. What does he advise human beings to do? Everything opposite that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do inside the Quran. Allah tells us to pray. He deviates us away from the prayer. Allah tells us to live a righteous life. He commands us towards يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَى, tells us to go towards الْفَوَاحِشْ, illicit practice of behavior. Allah tells us to spend, to enrich ourselves. Shaitan leads us towards الْفَقَرْ, saying it's going to be a state of poverty. Everything inside the Quran, you find shaitan goes the opposite path. Wants to take people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you find, unfortunately, shayateen al-jinni wal-ins. There's not just going to be shayateen, devils from the jinn, which have their own attacks on human beings. There's going to be physical devils. Human beings who are devils, who want to instill inside society, inside people, that this is a common norm. This is a common practice that we need to carry out inside our lives. And what is this common practice? لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْوَاشِمَاتِ وَالْمُسْتَوْشِمَاتِ, Allah has cursed those women who do tattoos and those who get their own bodies tattooed. Now even in this hadith, the strange thing about this hadith is speaking about actions of women. But this has become actions of men today. And even unfortunately that Muslim men, they begin to do these actions as well. Even this hadith is being specific about women and the practices that they do. Tattooing that you find, if you study the history of what is tattooing, that we find some historians speak about Captain James Cook and his discovery of Australia and travelling through the lands, going to Tahiti, etc. And they used the word tattoo, because they used to practice tattoos. It existed thousands of years ago. But they began to have this practice, and a traveller with James Cook, he wrote this inside his journal, this is the practice of these people. And you know, certain practice of people that may exist when he discovered Australia, 1770, whatever it was, that hundreds of years later, it becomes common norm. There's a lesson for this for us. Common practice of Muslims, we should have a long vision. That the impact of things that we do of the sunnah, or how we live inside society, it leaves remnants, it leaves effects. That people say, look, I remember such and such people are doing these actions. Or Muslims do this. The symbol of call of prayer. How many non-Muslims? They may first use some form of derogatory language. I hear this wailing sound every morning when I travel to a Muslim country. But how many of them acknowledge that after a few times of hearing that call of prayer, which they may have discovered afterwards, they found serenity. They found peace. They found tranquility. We run away from these symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shy away from displaying ourselves as Muslims, adorning ourselves as Muslims, looking as Muslims, carrying out practices of Muslims. Because we look at a short-term effect, that how will people perceive me? We should look at a long-term impact, that how will it impact people in the future? Because that's what happened to these individuals. The Discovery Australia has led today that you find that the majority, 25% of Australian men under the age of 30 have tattooed themselves. The impact of what we find of tattooing that began to take place. You find that inside this country, 1 in 3 people tattoo themselves. That's approximately 20 million people. Before it became a sign of deviation, of rebelliousness, now today it's become a form of art. That's why even if you look at the concept of tattooing, that you find it was carried out by people who travel as sailors. They would tattoo themselves with certain things. For example, a turtle would resemble a person traveling through the Atlantic, or an anchor would resemble them traveling through Asia, whatever it may be. These became their symbols of them becoming a traveler. And now then people classify it as some form of a low class of individuals, people in the circle, certain people done this. Today, it's the thriving people, the rich people. A common practice in the European countries, you find in it, the highest number of percentage of tattoos, 48% inside Italy, then 47% inside Sweden, and then 46% inside America. And people not content with just one tattoo. On average, 3 to 4, 5 to 6 tattoos, people would adorn themselves with this. As a symbol of what? A symbol of what they may claim to be a symbol of ones that they love, or family members, etc. that we find. Even the Bible, inside the book of Leviticus, inside the Old Testament, it mentions, you should not make any cuttings in the flesh for the dead, nor tattoo or mark your body. Forbidden inside their own text. That to mark your body or to place anything on your body is something forbidden. So this was a practice amongst Arab women, that they would make these marks or place color or dyes upon their body, permanent dyes, as a symbol. And this is prohibited inside Islam. For a woman to tattoo herself, or a person to go and tattoo another individual. And then what comes after that? وَالنَّامِسَاتِ وَالْمُتَنَّمِسَاتِ. A common practice inside a society amongst women. For women to pluck their eyebrows. The woman who carries it out and the woman who is done to. Are both cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People may bring the excuses of say whatever they want to say. But it's a common practice amongst Muslim women. They don't think nothing of it. And as we began with the hadith mentions, La'an Allah. Allah is cursed. So it's not even something, a minor sin or something trivial. It is under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially people who even practicing Islam, it's become such a pandemic a practice inside society. No one thinks anything of it. That this is a normal practice, this is a normal way that we need to do this. Even as we mentioned many times, the whole concept of hijab, or because this is the society around us, this is not hijab according to fuqaha. Hijab is not supposed to be flamboyant colours and designs and labels and tight fitting or displaying your body or to be attractive. Study any of the works of the fuqaha. None of them accept this. None of them have accepted this. It doesn't exist inside books of fiqh. But because this is, as we began with the modern world, that the society has to tell us, society has to indoctrinate within us that this is the way you need to live as a Muslim. Not the nusus of the Quran and the Sunnah, not the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, what they govern and tell us. So these women who speak about that we want freedom and liberate ourselves, you are not liberating yourself. You're following the text of what they want you to do, how they want you to dress, how they want you to behave. And likewise, you find المتفلجات للحسن المغيرات خلق الله. Those women who make spaces inside their teeth to beautify themselves, not being content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, we find amongst Muslims as well, and men as well, that people will remove their teeth. For what purpose? Just to place a fake gold tooth or whatever, a diamond tooth inside it. For what purpose? These are fashion trends and cultures of these people who are lost, who are astray. I'll misguide these individuals. They're far away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the path of shaitan. But Muslim youth, they begin to praise this. They begin to want to emulate, they want to imitate, they want to be like these individuals. They want to dress like them, they want to carry out the same slogans that they have. And a rising culture, even Muslim tattooing their bodies. For what purpose? This shows how, may Allah forbid, how shallow some of us become, that we don't have our own understanding of perception of life, of iman, of faith, and find character and behavior that we find. And thus we find that maybe we find excuses are presented. A strange thing about this hadith, that the psyche of women, no disrespect to them, is mentioned, that they may begin to present excuses. So this hadith came to a woman by the name of Ya'qub. And when she heard this hadith, she came to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And she said, what is this that I heard this, that you... Or she was a woman, kana taqra' al-Qur'an, she used to recite the Qur'an. She said, what is this statement that you're going around saying to the people? Ma hadithun balagani anka annaka la'anat al-washimat ila akhir al-hadith al-kalimat. What's this statement that you're going around saying to people that Allah has cursed the woman who tattoos her body, the woman who plucks her eyebrows, the woman who places spaces, gaps inside the tooth for beautification? Why are you going around cursing such women or cursing such people? And here also we should stop and reflect. As ulama of hadith have mentioned, that to curse a person, if they're carrying out a certain practice, if a person says that these people are cursed, that's not being rude. That's not saying to this specific person, you're saying that these are practices which are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sometimes we become so tacit inside our life, so passive inside our life, that we know something is haram, but you know, just turn a blind eye, be complacent, use wisdom, to just take it easy upon people. For how long should we take it easy upon people? We can see for how long we take easy on people. People go, you give them inch, they take a yard, as they say. Liberties, practice their own faith. Practice their own Islam, because there's no point of check. There's no point of check. There's nobody reminding ourselves, these are practices. So we have to remind ourselves, these are the Islamic practices that we need to stick to. So she said, what is this that you're cursing people? فَقَالَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ لَا عَلْعَنُوا مَنْ لَعَنَ اللَّهِ. He said, what is the matter with you? Why should I not curse those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed? وَهُوَ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. And it's in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, I've read the Quran and I don't find these words inside the Quran. وَحَقًّا. You don't find these words inside the Quran. These words don't exist inside the Quran. But look at the extraction of the Quran. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said to her, لو قرأت قول الله سبحانه وتعالى. If you read this verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would have found it. What is this verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside Surah Al-Hashr? The 59th chapter, verse number 7. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever the messenger tells you to take it. Whatever he tells you to stay away from, stay away from it. It's inside the Quran. If the messenger alayhi salam said that stay away from this, don't practice this is cursed, then that is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it himself. That's what Quran and Sunnah means. Otherwise we become people known as Quraniyun, just believe in the Quran. We only follow what the Quran says. The Quran explicitly doesn't speak about certain things. It doesn't use, as we began with, certain words and terminologies that we live in today's world. So I can do this practice. And as we mentioned, that the Quran, or people don't really understand the Quran. The Quran doesn't speak about this. The answer is simple. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever the messenger tells you to take, take it. Whatever he tells you to stay away from, stay away from it. For the sake of completion, and very paramount it is, because as we mentioned, the psyche, the nature of certain individuals, that this woman, Ya'qub, then she began to make a personal attack, a personal rebuttal. Not accepting the hadith or accepting his advice, in a state of frustration. And maybe some of us, the psyche of many of us human beings, that sometimes maybe, as they say, when a person is cornered, then they rebel and they may make certain comments not to accept something. That's why we have to understand the nature of the human being when being able to advise them and being able to correct them. فَقَالَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ فَإِنِّي أَرَى شَيْئًا مِنْ هَذَا عَلَى إِمْرَأَتِكَ. This woman said, Ya'qub said, that I see some of this practice amongst your own family members. There's no point in you advising me. You need to go and check your own family members. So Abdullah Mas'ud said, idhabi fanzuri. He said, go and check my family members. So she entered upon his wife. فَلَمْ تَرَى شَيْئًا فَجَاءَتْ إِلَيْهِ فَقَالَ مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا. She said, I didn't see any of this practice on your wife. And here we find that the role of of any Muslim just to advise people. But advise people when you've tried the best. There's no point going around telling other people, do this and do that and do that. Because that's unfortunately, that's another sickness amongst us. We just always want to find mistakes of other individuals. And we want to exploit them. We want to expose them. We want to find some default about them. If something happens to appear in front of you, you advise people. You shouldn't go out of your way to defame people or make them feel bad inside their lives. That shouldn't be a culture that exists. Person should be always worried that what I'm encouraging people to do, do I carry that out inside my own life? Do I tell my own family members to the best of my ability? Obviously, ليس عليك هداهم ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. It's not upon you to guide people. Allah is the one that guides. But as long as a person exerted the efforts to tell their family members, to tell the people around them. He turned and he said to her, فَقَالَ أَمَا لَوْ كَانَ ذَلِكْ لَمْ نُجَامِعَهَا. If this had been true, I would not, basically, can be translated as I would have not been married to her, I would have divorced her. That this had been her practice, that I wouldn't recognize this isn't a good woman. I would have stayed away from her. And thus we find in conclusion that we find that the nature of people, at times we find, as they say, that the truth is bitter. It's difficult for people to accept the truth. It takes time for development at times. But there's certain practices which should be common inside a society that people should know that this is haram. As we mentioned, that the plucking of eyebrows is not something that we should just say because we can see the practice inside society where it's led to. People bring excuses that maybe because for the pleasure of the husband or beauty in front of the husband. Fuqaha have spoken about this. Shaykh Uthaymeen Rahmatullah, he speaks about it. There's no dire need for a person to carry this out. It doesn't affect their marriage in any way. But this has become a culture amongst people that people need to carry out these practices to fit inside the modern world of society that we live in. And thus we find also what we need to take away from our lives, that so-and-so does it. This is common amongst us Muslims today, that such and such individual does it. Ya akhi, I'm going to go inside my own grave. You're going to go inside your own grave. There's no point saying on that day that so-and-so does it. There's no point saying that so-and-so does it, so I may as well follow suit. وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you obey most of the people around you, they'll take you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find from 100 people, 99 will go to Jahannam. وَفِي بَعْدِ riwayat, from every 1,000, 999 will go to Jahannam. So we shouldn't fall into this trap that so-and-so does it. So there's no harm. Or even religious people do it. That's not an excuse, because if a religious person does it, or a member of their family does it, we're human beings. We falter. We err. We make mistakes. We sin. If a text of the Quran and Sunnah exists, that's our benchmark. Obviously, some people may want to look at religious people and clerics as a benchmark. There's no harm. But they are fallible. They make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We make mistakes. So that shouldn't be the benchmark, that religious people do it, I should be able to carry out this action. Or as you mentioned, everyone is doing this action. Or it's a common practice inside society. Or it's a modern world. How are we going to fit into the modern world? This is another perception that we have. Or people say, oh, but we got bigger worries. You know, you're speaking about shaving the beard, plucking the eyebrows. You're worried about this, whether a person should wear a garment like this, whether the hijab should be like this. We got bigger worries. The Muslim world is in turmoil. The Muslim world is suffering. And you have the audacity to speak about this. As I began with, the answer is there. Lu'ina, la'anallah. That is part of the cure. Because the practices that we're doing, if you find them firstly, if you find them so petty, if they're so trivial, linguistically, anything which is petty or trivial is something easy to accomplish. So why don't you do it inside your life? And secondly, if it is so petty and small, then why are you not paying attention towards it? When the Quran and Sunnah is saying that Allah has cursed these individuals, so as far as the Quran and Sunnah is concerned, it's not petty. It's not something small. It is part of the jigsaw of the collapse of this Muslim ummah. That's what it is. Just like you have oppression, you have dhulm, you have torture, you have sariqah, you have stealing, cheating, zina, lying, fornication, adultery, shurbul khamr, ghiba, shatam, la'an. All of this is a jigsaw puzzle. All of it is one great big jigsaw. You take one piece away, it's incomplete. So this is part of the puzzle. And it may be the easiest part of the puzzle that we can do inside our lives. If it's supposed to be something that we shouldn't really be worried about. Or we should be worried about the length of our thobe, the length of our beard, the length of this. This in essence, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُضُوهُ. This is, the only word that comes to mind is blasphemy. That's what it is, it's blasphemy. Read works of aqa'id, it's classified as blasphemy. If a person sins and says that, I know I'm sinful. I know I'm doing haram. And leaves it at that. فَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Then he belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a person has audacity and say, but you know, this text doesn't mean this. It should mean this. And the Prophet ﷺ, he's speaking about a medieval practice, medieval people, Arab culture. It doesn't relate to us. It doesn't really affect us. This is a modern world. We live amongst non-Muslims. We should be like this. In your heart is a sickness. In your heart is a disease that needs to be cured. Because this disease will carry on till eventually then you begin to, your mind will be boggled. And say, but how did the Prophet ﷺ marry a young girl at the age of 9? How did he allow this? How did he allow that? Why did he do this? Why did he do that? I can't comprehend it. The modern world doesn't accept it. My non-Muslim friends don't agree to it. This person doesn't like it. My culture doesn't accept it. So what are you doing? You're shredding away Islam. And that's what they've done. Look at colonialism. Look at imperialism. Look at the impact that I began with. That their common practices that they've done inside our lands and our people has become now normative inside our lands. Lands where we find that the English and French language had nothing to do with our country, nothing to do with our people. But we speak this language because language dismantles people. The language of Muslims is Lughatul Quran, is the language of the Quran. You dismantle a language, you dismantle their culture, their heritage, their people. Their deen, their iman, their faith, you dismantle everything. Because an average person can't pick up the book of Allah. The average person can't pick up the book of Allah and see, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُضُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Can't see that. Can't see the impact of that verse of the Quran. Can't see that inside their lives. Person can't see the impact of the Quran. See the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we began with. About the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The path of success lies inside the Quran. And as you find that the companions, every single thing, if it's something trivial, every single day, they would always get upset. When they were, this Muslim ummah was collapsing, there was hardship and difficulty. They didn't sit there and just start having like, we have political discussions until Fajr time and beyond that and just have these talks. They sat there and they asked one another, which sunnah am I missing in my life? Where am I deficient inside my life? Am I missing any praying of any sunnahs during the day? In the evening? Something I'm missing inside my life? They lived a world like us. They were worried about the destruction of the Muslim ummah. The coming of the disbelievers attacking them and spilling them apart. But they made time and effort to reassess themselves to see that these are the things that will give us glory once again. And yet we go in the political dimension and say that this, a building is never built from the top. A building is built from its foundations. And our foundations, sorry to say, are corrupt, are diseased, are full of sickness. When our foundation is sound and powerful, then once again, Allah will once again allow the building to be built and developed once again. So everything is important for us inside our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to go back and to live true to these words. And likewise, a disclaimer, no one should go back home. And have a rant and a rage towards their family members or their sisters or their mothers or their daughters or their wives to say something. This is like this person with love and affection. Encourage them. These are practices which go against the Quran and the Sunnah. Our intent isn't to create upheaval and hatred inside homes and in our community and amongst people. Our intent is to better ourselves as Muslims. That when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no curse upon us in this dunya. There's no curse upon us in our daily life. Then when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no anger. There's no wrath. But there's contentment inside our lives that we tried our best to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, become good believing individuals in the Lord.